And in Libya, revenge attacks and militia rivalries are alarming those anxious for a swift transition from war to peacetime. NPR's Peter Kenyon takes us to the Nafusa Mountains on the western border of Libya. There he found idle fighters hanging on to their weapons and abandoned villages giving bleak testimony to the fact that not everyone is ready for the violence to end.
Autumn rains have freshened the green mountains around Zintan, and local markets are buzzing with holiday shoppers shocked at the high price of lamb. But in one village, the only sound is the lonely clatter of a door against the gate of an abandoned house. A sign nearby bears a handwritten scrawl that says, "Mushasha Gaddafi Dogs."
I'm standing in the middle of a windswept mountain village that is completely deserted. There are burned out, wrecked cars. A foam mattress is soaked. It rained this morning. It looks like most of these houses have been looted. We're told this village was populated by pro-Gaddafi families. They were driven out, and the locals are hoping they don't come back.
A lone Zintan fighter, Matoub Murdasi, says the Mushasha families, members of a nomadic southern tribe who were imported by Gaddafi decades ago, can never come back, because when Zintan rose up against the dictator, they joined with the loyalist forces against their neighbors. At a gas station across the street, 55-year-old Masoud Al-Kish says when the uprising began, Mushasha people gave the village to the army, which used it to rocket and shell Zintan and the surrounding towns. The story of Mushasha is being played out in other parts of Libya as well. Outside of Misrata, the town of Towerga remains abandoned after its residents let the Gaddafi army launch assaults on Misrata from there. Some Misrata fighters are suspected of committing atrocities, but Zintan fighters claim to be more humane. An unannounced visit to a makeshift prison in Zintan revealed a few dozen prisoners with no visible signs of abuse who said they've been treated well. Libyans, other Africans, even one Serb, sprawled on mattresses in a dimly lit basement, awaiting an unknown fate. One former general in Gaddafi's army, Hosni Mohammed Kati, claimed he hadn't seen any combat. He hopes to be allowed to join the new army because after 30 years in the military, that's all he knows. The volunteer head of the Zintan local council, Attahar Turki, says he'd like to release some prisoners for the holiday, but first they need to sort out those with blood on their hands who will need to stand trial. A slim, energetic man with salt-and-pepper hair, Turki was studying for an advanced engineering degree in Britain before the revolution. He says getting fighters to turn in their weapons is the top priority, but so far he has no alternatives to offer these young men.
They given the tanks, but for the other weapons. You ask them, all right, when they see the new government, we will do that. That's the main concern. Because all of them, they're young people. They lived for 6 months in war. And I can't promise them because, as you know, I have nothing. To be honest with you, yes, we have some guys or some young people out of control.
The worst incident in recent days was a deadly shootout at a Tripoli hospital involving different militias, including one from Zintan. Zintani fighters are in charge of security at Tripoli's international airport. The commander, Mukhtar Akhtar, his leathery face framed by a traditional turban, acknowledges there was a problem at the hospital, but says pro-Gaddafi elements are using such incidents to sow discord among the militias in the capital. He says the fighters can't relax their vigilance now, or the revolution could still be undone. But Akhtar says militia leaders are in discussions about how to unify their efforts, and he hopes an announcement will be coming soon. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Tripoli.